Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not entirely sure when the Lutheran Church decided to start honoring the Old Testament saints, but I do see that there is a great benefit to it. And so if you look on your church calendar, you will see that today the church honors Noah. And it is fitting to do so as one of the last men of his time to actually confess the Messiah, to confess a hope in the things that are to come, a hope in the true God. Oftentimes when I look around at our world, I think about just how bad things are getting, and I can become very dismayed at this. And then I remember there was a time it got so bad that God decided to wipe out all of creation, and only 8 people were left who actually believed in him. The patriarch of that family was a man named Noah. And God comes to him in the wickedness surrounding him, and he says, Noah, I am going to preserve mankind through you. The stink of their sin has reached up into heaven, and so I am going to order you to create an ark that will secure you and your wife, your 3 sons and their wives, and 2 of each kind in it. I will send a rain upon the earth that will never be seen again. I will send this, and I will wipe out that which I have made because it has become so filthy and so wicked that I cannot stand to look at it anymore. That is the reality that Noah hears this in. And so Noah and his sons begin to build an ark. It takes them a number of years. And all the while Noah is building this ark, trusting in the Lord, he is proclaiming to others that this is going to happen. And they mocked him for it. For a couple of years at least now, we as Christians have been trying to tell people that Jesus Christ is going to return. We believe this. This is our hope. And I can't imagine what all the people might be saying about those of us who believe in it. I'm sure that it's not the kindest thing in the world. But now it is profitable to make fun of Christianity. It is profitable to make fun of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just recently, there was a famous tattoo artist who became a Christian, a woman who had lived and dabbled in witchcraft and the occult for much of her life. The Holy Spirit had worked faith in her heart, and she was baptized. She confesses the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name is Kat Von D. And in response to her doing this, there were people who were trying to say, you're only doing this as a publicity stunt. Can you imagine anything less helpful today than proclaiming to the world that you believe that Jesus Christ is the true God, who died on the cross for your sins and who was raised from the dead and is going to return? A publicity stunt? No. We confess this Jesus. Noah confessed the Messiah who was to come, and God saved him. Because God did exactly what he said he was going to do. He sent a flood that literally covered the whole face of the earth. Not a single mountain was not covered when the Lord sent that rain for 40 days and 40 nights. 150 days plus, the earth is covered in this water, in this flood, washing away the stench and the sin that had fallen because of Adam. And that's only 6 chapters. That's Genesis chapter 6, 5 chapters after our Lord had created the heavens and the earth. That is how stenchly our sin can get. But God preserved believing Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. God preserved them, and God saved them, and God kept them knit together in that ark that keeps them from drowning. An ark that is the church. And so, as I mentioned, some of you have been with me Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and today of this week as we study God's Word and we worship. And I will rehash a little bit of what we talked about because many of you weren't here to hear it. But oftentimes when we look at the genealogies listed in Genesis, we get very bogged down. We don't know Hebrew and we see a bunch of words that we can't pronounce and our eyes gloss over and we just want to skip it all together. But there are tidbits of beautiful information in those genealogies. And some of that I'm going to share with you because some of that actually belongs to Noah. Noah, his sons are Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Bible records this. Noah and his wife, his sons, and their wives make it on the boat. There are eight people, eight souls in all, that survive this worldwide flood. After the flood, God sets the ark down. Noah comes out with his family. God gives this beautiful promise that he will not flood the whole earth again. No matter how much there might be a warming that could happen, the earth will not be flooded completely again as it was on that day. No, the end of the earth will be in fire and destruction through this. But Noah and his family come out of the ark, an ark that door was actually shut by God himself. He is the one who called them. He is the one who told them. He is the one who also brought the animals to them. And he is the one who shuts them in this holy place, a place that keeps them safe. Just as our Lord's hand has placed you into the ark of this church and the church universal. But after this, Noah makes a sacrifice. And God puts his bow in the clouds to show that his anger and his wrath is ceased. His bow is set up in the clouds as a reminder that when it rains, we are to remember that God will not destroy the entire earth in water again. That is what a rainbow is. That is what it stands for, and that's what it will continue to be because it is God's rainbow. And so God makes this covenant with Noah, and he gives Noah this beautiful promise. Be fruitful and multiply. Go out, subdue the earth, have dominion over it. But sometimes even faithful people can neglect to hear and follow God's word. And so Noah's sons all kind of stick together. Noah becomes a vineyard owner. He plants grapes and makes wine. And in his own fallenness, he drinks so much wine that he becomes drunk and passes out. And after he is drunk and passing out from it, which is sinful, his second son, Ham, comes and sees him and goes and tells his brothers, "Come and see what Dad has done," mocking his own father instead of trying to cover his nakedness and his shame. Ham is punished for this. We see in the nations that descend from Noah that it is Ham's children, children such as Canaan, who will become so perverse before God that God will send his people to wipe them out. We see of Nimrod, the mighty hunter, but not mighty for the Lord, a man who sought to make a name for him, likely could have been one of the masterminds behind building the Tower of Babel. A tower, of course, that God will have to come down to look at and mock and destroy. But his other two sons are important for us to understand and know. We see Japheth, and oftentimes we can wonder how we are etched into this story. Because many of you, like me, are probably not Jews. You are Gentiles by birth. Your bloodline does not go through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Rather, you are done by faith. And so Japheth is the one whose descendants will settle much of Europe. You descend from Japheth, a man who was a son of believing Noah. What about the other son? In Hebrew, the letter can be both an S sound and an SH sound. And so Shem can also be pronounced Sem. His descendants are Semites. It is very popular to hear right now about the mistreatment of a whole group of people. And we call that anti-Semitism. This word comes still into our own language because these are people that God had set apart through the tribes of Shem, or Sem. Sem also, or Shem, had a son named Eber. And it is from Eber that we get the name Hebrew, coming directly from it. And so we can see, even in these genealogies that we have probably known were there and glossed over, you can see that God is grafting about the story of salvation. Because it is through Shem's line, through these tribes, that God will send the Savior. He will cut that covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he will send the Savior through the line of David. How does this all tie into our lessons for tonight? I'm reminded of this fact when I looked at our epistle lesson from Thessalonians. I see these words and I can think about all the times that I have gotten down because I look at how much our children are mocked for being Christian, how our children are mocked for seeking purity, how our children are mocked for living a modest and decent life. Our children are mocked for all of these things, and many of you might have been as well. But even in all the mocking that goes on for being a Christian, I am reminded of this passage. St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. There is a rest that is found not in the world. There is a peace that is found not in the world, not in the drugs that the world tries to fill us with, not in the voids that they try to pump us full of with your technologies and your lulling into all the things of the world and the devil, but rather there is a peace, there is a rest found in nothing else but Jesus. For those of us who are troubled, he gives rest. The Lord Jesus will be revealed with his mighty angels. As we end our church year, we focus on the end of days when our Lord returns. The whole host of heaven will be filled. The souls of our loved ones who have died in the Lord, we will see them return with Jesus. The angels and the archangels and all of these things you will finally see with your eyes. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It can be easy for us to turn around and wait to see those who mock Christianity immediately die and suffer for it. That is not for us to decide. However, all the wrongs will be righted. All the lies will be made visible, and we will all see the truth. There will be everlasting destruction. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints. On that day, all the wrongs that you have endured for being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, all of them will be undone. For the Lord who died on the cross to take away your sins is a Lord who is risen from the dead, who lives and reigns to all eternity, and a Lord who is coming back. All those who mocked him and refused to repent after it, all those who mocked you for being a Christian follower of Jesus and refused to repent of it, all those who had rejected the free gift of grace won by our Lord's death and resurrection, they will all see the truth, and there will be everlasting destruction then. Be found in the opposite of that destruction. Be found in the last part of this passage. Be found in this. Glorified in his saints, to be admired among all those who believe in Christ Jesus our Lord. I encourage you often to tell others about Jesus. And yes, there will be times when we get to see beautiful things. We get to see the Holy Spirit work in them. And they will come to church with us. But there will be other times when they will mock us and they will reject it. You try and you try, and eventually you will shake the dust off of your feet, just as he commands. The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. And it will be worse than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. But until that day, believe firmly. Believe not in yourself, but believe in Jesus. And show this Jesus to the world. The church sings. There shall we see in glory our dear Redeemer's face. The long-awaited story of heavenly joy takes place. The patriarchs shall meet us, the prophets' holy band, apostles, martyrs greet us in that celestial land. There God shall from all evil forever make us free, from sin and from the devil, from all adversity, from sickness, pain, and sadness, from troubles, cares, and fears, and grant us heavenly gladness and wipe away our tears. In that fair home shall never be silent music's voice. With hearts and lips forever we shall in God rejoice, while angel hosts are raising with saints from great to least a mighty hymn for praising the giver of the feast. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.